Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you.
The sunset, I look at the stars, I can't help but notice that you were thinking about my heart. I look at the ocean, I look at the trees, Lord, what a great thing that you gave your son for me, 'cause every little detail you are working for your glory, and every part of my life you will mold and make a better story. When I see all the things you've made, I'll believe every word you say, 'cause you are for me. Lord, you're working all things for your glory. I look at the sunrise, I look at the birds, they're all singing praises to you, Lord. I look at your people and I can't help but see, when you gave your son to die, it wasn't just for me, 'cause every little detail you are working for your glory, and every part of my life you will mold and make a better story. When I see all the things you've made, I'll believe every word you say, 'cause you are for me. Lord, you're working all things for your glory. Every little detail, every little moment, God, you're in it, you're in it. Every little detail and every little moment, God, you're in it, you're in it. Every little detail you are working for your glory, and every part of my life you will mold and make a better story. When I see all the things you've made, I'll believe every word you say, 'cause you are for me. Lord, you're working all things for, you are for me. Lord, you're working all things for your glory.
Amen. That was a true blessing, wasn't it? What a sweet young lady. I want you to know Addie wrote that song, and I think Channing, did you collaborate with the music? And so they also put the music together, and that was beautiful, and that was a surprise for Carrie. You didn't know she was singing that this morning, did you? That's wonderful. Isn't it great to see young people grow up right before your eyes and become what God wants them to be? Isn't that wonderful? It is for me. I enjoy it. And I'm thankful for the young people that God's placed in our care here at Open Bible. A lot of them are leaving us now, going to Bible college, going off to college, different places. In fact, Addie will be leaving this afternoon, and she's starting her first semester at Crown College. And so I think you ought to pray more for Tyler and Carrie than for Addie. Addie is going to join her brother Ty down there at Crown. And several have already left. Cole Fenton left. He's going to college in Texas. And then I know Jeremy Ngala. That's where the Ngalas are today. They took him down to Liberty. And Elena's already gone, and Jalen. And so, wow. And others will be leaving out over the next, I guess, couple of... Allison went to Liberty as well, right? And so we miss our young people when they go off to college. But I like it when they come back and they get just right back in service. Isn't that wonderful? And so we'll get you a card together. We usually do, right, Carrie? We put a card of college students and let you know where they are. And you can pray for them. And then every once in a while we send them little care packages from home. You know, cheesesteaks and soft pretzels. A little bit of salt water. You know, salt water taffy. Yeah. Well, amen. Galatians chapter 1. Can you find your way there? Galatians chapter number 1. Again, if you're visiting with us this morning, so nice to have you. Last Sunday, we began a brand new series of messages, a verse-by-verse study in the book of Galatians. And we only introduced it last week. I think we got through verses 1 and 2. If you were with us, so I want to pick it up today. But let's do a rewind. Let's read the first five verses. We'll go back, do a little rewind, and then pick it up verse number 3. All righty. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. This wasn't just one church Paul's writing to. He's writing to a group of churches in the region of Galatia. He says, he's continuing in his greeting, grace and peace. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Do you have that underlined in your Bible? Do you underline or highlight or parenthesize or take note of certain words in your Bible? If you do, that is a good passage or a good sentence or a good statement to highlight and underline. We'll give attention to it this morning, but more attention to it tonight. For tonight, we're going to look at the very nature of sin. You know why you sin? I know you like to say, because the devil makes me. No, you sin because you're a sinner. Amen. You're born a sinner. You have a nature. What is a nature? Come back tonight. We'll talk about that. But I want you to highlight that. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. That's good. From this, get this, present evil world. Right? Now, you know the scriptures are preserved. So this was not only written for the churches back in the region of Galatia, back in 90 AD, but it's written for us today. How many of us believe that? This is for us today. And so Paul was saying this, Jesus Christ gave himself for your sins so that he might deliver you from, say with me, my present evil world. We're living in an evil world. Don't you agree? According, he says, to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory. Isn't it good to give God glory? To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So let's rewind. The Apostle Paul here is writing this letter to the churches of Galatia. Remember I said this last week, when you study a book in the Bible, and I'm sure you have, you study through the scriptures, there is a common theme or essential theme, a central subject matter. In fact, you know the central subject matter of the whole Bible? What's the theme of the whole Bible? When you put it all together, they say there's a central theme. You know what it is? What'd you say? Salvation, redemption. Redemption. So if you read the Bible, there's a central theme. Everything, all the Bible points to one central theme. And that central theme, say with me, class, is redemption. Redemption. Listen to this statement. If you look for Jesus, you'll find him on every page of the Bible. Jesus is the central theme of the Bible. And it's redemption from Genesis 1:1 all the way down to Revelation 22. 20? You don't know, do you? Neither do I, but I think it's 20. Anyway, it's the last chapter, Revelation 22. And all throughout, you'll see Jesus and the story of redemption over and over and over. But when you look at a book in the Bible, you know, and take that, you know, out of the whole Bible and study that, there's a central theme of that book. And here's what we said last week. Galatians has a central theme. And we believe it's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Flip that up for us, guys. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You see it? I highlighted the word liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Right? I promise you, we're going to get to Galatians chapter number 5 sometime next year. Because I'm a slow speaker and you're a slow learner. But what he's talking about there, the yoke of bondage there, was the yoke of bondage that a group of individuals called the Judaizers, remember that group? The Judaizers were placing upon these New Testament believers. We'll talk about that a little bit more in detail as we go down throughout our study. However, what he's saying is this, you have been set free. That word liberty can translate over to a modern word that we might use called freedom. Freedom. And what Paul is saying is this to the Galatian believers, you have been set free in Christ. Amen. Isn't it good? Amen. Freedom through Christ. By the way, there is no freedom outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not free until you've been made free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior, He declares you free. Free from what? Free from the bitter bondage that you and I once were held captive by. The bondage of sin, the bondage of rules and regulations, the bondage of legalism that we'll find here in this study. Isn't that interesting? That's the central theme. You remember that? Look here. We're going to stay in the book of Galatians from now until, I think, probably the end of November. And I guarantee you, you're going to hear over and over the fact that we have been set free. We have freedom in Christ. That's what Paul's speaking about in this study. And it just influences so many other things in our lives. I also said this. There are supporting themes. So you have a central theme, right? Central theme of Galatians is freedom in Christ. Let's try that again. The central theme of the book of Galatians is?
Freedom in Christ.
Say it with confidence. The central theme of the book of Galatians is?
Freedom in Christ.
How many have been set free in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Do you realize it?
Yes.
Aren't you happy?
Yes.
Good. Good. But then there's some supporting themes. You know, it's kind of like a supporting cast. Right? I said this last week. You watch a movie and you have starring, you know, and it's got that star, and then it has co-starring the supporting cast, right? So there's a supporting cast to the theme. Many of them in the book of Galatians. One that I highlighted last week was the supporting theme of transformation. And the idea is this. When you and I, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we now have transformation going on in our life. There's a transformation that's occurring. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, isn't it true that things are not the same? Things are not the same in your life. They shouldn't be the same. Why? Because of this transformation that occurs. And here's what we did last week. We took a look at that word transformed or transformation. And I gave you a good working definition. Do you remember it? Here it is again. Take a picture of it. Here's what it means to be transformed. It's a profound inward. I like the word inward, right? It's a profound inward change in a person's character and nature. Huh? How many of you know something called human nature? Right? What is human nature? And then what is a born-again nature? We have a dual nature now that we're God's children. Right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I don't have time to get too deep into that this morning. But I want you to get this definition. A profound inward change in a person's character and nature brought about by, look at the next couple of words, divine intervention. Hello? Divine intervention. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life. Right? And he begins to make this profound, that word profound, deep, you know, intricated. I mean to tell you, sometimes complicated change in your life. Did you ever feel after you've gotten saved, things got a little complicated? Huh? Do you ever come to that place where, why can't I enjoy some of the things that I used to enjoy before I met Jesus? It's complicated. Why? Because a profound change is happening on the inside of your life. Your very nature is changing. And as a result, your character begins to change and you begin to take on some of the resemblance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Galatians is all about. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Man, that's exciting. And the idea then is this, according to that text of Scripture, with this in mind, a child of God lives a transformed life.
Amen.
Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 12. Put that verse up, guys. Look at it. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. We might say this, don't walk to the sound or to the beat of this world's drum or this world's model. Instead, be what? Be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a good Bible verse to memorize right there. It talks about the transformation going on in our lives. And so if you're free in Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you should be living, we should be living, I should be living a transformed life. And I'm going to say this with absolute confidence and humility. For the most part, I do. Can you say that? Can you say that? Can you say what the Apostle Paul said? You know, I once was, but now I am. Huh? Can you say this? I know I'm not what I'm going to be, and I'm not always what I should be, but I'm so thankful that I am not what I used to be. How many of us can say that? I don't think any of us are a finished work. Some of you old people are getting closer. Age has nothing to do with it, right, Tony? No, not at all. You can be as close to God today as you choose to be. Let me say that one more time. You can be as close to God as you choose to be. Right? Closeness is determined by you and I. And we ought to be living a transformed life. And so, having said that, that was kind of the background of Galatians, just to keep it simple. And we gave a little bit more detail last week. We jumped into verses 1 and 2. And in verse 1, and I got to go a little quicker here because I do need to get to verse 3. But in verse 1, verse 2, Paul makes a declaration. Remember this? And then he gives an explanation. Paul, an apostle, Paul says this, I have the authority, I have a ministry of apostleship. By the way, boy, I like to pause and reflect here. I never forget this. The very first time, I see you back there, Mike, sitting next to my cousin Ed. Welcome back, Nicole. Had to get that in. I never forget the first time I saw a van driving down the street in Southwest Philadelphia, where I pastored for 17 and a half years. And it was a church van. And the name on it was this. Listen to this. Get this. First Corinthians Baptist Church. And I thought to myself, oh my, maybe they've never read First Corinthians. Why in the world? And then I saw the pastor's name. And in the title, it didn't just say, you know, Reverend so-and-so. It said this, Apostle so-and-so. And it wasn't the Apostle Paul. I don't really remember the apostle's name that was on the side of that van. But I thought to myself, do they even have a Bible there at that church? Because if they did, I don't know if you'd want to call your church First Corinthians Baptist Church, maybe Second Corinthians. And if you knew anything about the ministry of apostleship, you'd know this. There are certain credentials that a man must meet in order to be declared an apostle. Right? And Paul says this, look at verse number 1. I'm an apostle, not by the laying on of men's hands. This has nothing to do with a group of men who got together and said, hey, he looks pretty good. He looks like a leader. He's got charisma. He's got potential. I like the way he speaks. Let's make him an apostle. No. Paul said, had nothing to do with a group of men. I've called into this. This ministry was laid upon me by God himself. right? However, there was a group that, remember that group, the Judaizers? The Judaizers were saying this, Paul has no authority here. Paul came into the region of Galatia. He's preaching, you know, the gospel of Christ. Faith in Christ gives you salvation. These Judaizers who were Jewish converts come along and they say, Paul has no authority. He was not one of the 12 apostles. And who was he to preach a message opposite than what we believe? Salvation is not just faith in Christ alone. Salvation is faith in Christ plus the keeping of the law of Moses. Right? That's what they were teaching. And Paul said, no. Look at verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Do you see that? He's speaking about these Judaizers. So Paul's saying this, no, I want you to know something. I do have the credentials. What were the credentials of someone who was called to be an apostle? There's at least several. There's three basic. Flip it for me, guys. Here they are. Must have seen the risen Christ. They had to see the risen Jesus. Paul did. Must be commissioned or called by Jesus himself. Paul was. I gave you scripture there. Talked about this last week. And then had to be taught by Jesus. And Paul was right here in Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 15. It talks about, you know, being in the desert for 3 years. Before he went into ministry, he had a 3-year crash course on the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that powerful? Huh? And so that's the backdrop. Now, we won't go over that again because next week we're going to move on to chapter 1, verse 6. Okay, so that'll be the last time you hear me say that. But you needed to hear that. Because if you're going to study a book in the Bible, you need to know a little bit of its background, right? And words aren't put there just accidentally, right? Paul didn't just come along. He's not boasting. He's not bragging. Paul, an apostle. Huh? No. He's not saying that for that reason. He's saying it because there were people there who were saying he's a fraud. Paul says, I'm not a fraud. I wasn't called by men. I was called by God, right? And so let's move on to verse number 3 and witness just a little bit more of his greeting. So he's writing to this church. It's a letter. And here's what he says in verse number 3. I like this. He says, grace be to you and peace from God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So grace and peace. Now, let's stay there just for a little bit this morning. Talk about that. Paul knew his audience. He knew who he was speaking to, right? When I went to Bible college, I remember having certain classes in pastoral theology. One of the classes was practice preaching. That's what it was called, practice preaching. Another was called homiletics, how to develop messages, how to preach messages. And one of the key factors was this, know your audience. Right? And so if I'm invited to come and preach to a group of senior citizens, you know, we have OB seniors here on Thursdays, a bunch of our seniors, 55 plusers, I don't go in and preach to them like they're teenagers. Why? I know my audience. They're 55 plus. Right? I talk about retirement funds and nursing homes and assisted living and things like that. You got to know your audience. Paul comes in. Now I'm giving you background here, and this is true. This is truth. Paul comes in and he says to this group, grace and peace. Now, this is his greeting, right? Paul's writing a letter, and this is part of his greeting. He hasn't gotten into the meat of the message yet. That begins in verse number 6. But right now he's just kind of, you know, kind of warming things up. Grace and peace. He knows his audience. It was a mixed group. There were two cultures there. There were Jew and Gentile in that audience. And so the very first thing he says is this, grace be to you. You know what grace is? Grace would be a very traditional, a very common cultural greeting to a Greek. The word grace there comes from a Greek word, charis. We also get the word charismatic from it. That didn't thrill anybody. I thought you'd start speaking in tongues if I said that. But it's the word charis. And the word charis here in that text of Scripture, Paul's just saying grace to you. And it was a very common cultural greeting. He also then says peace. You know, peace in this text of Scripture is the word shalom. Shalom. That's a Hebrew word. Right? If you're going to greet common cultural greeting to a Jew, you're over in Israel, you say shalom. Shalom alechem. And they say back to you, alechem shalom. You know what that means? It means peace to you and peace back to you. Right? Shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Peace be to you. So Paul knows his audience. Are you with me? And he says, grace and peace to you. Talking to the Jew and to the Gentile. However, when you look at those words in a more spiritual, biblical way, grace and peace, there's definitely a deeper meaning to those words. For example, that word grace, and we use that grace often, we speak of it often, it speaks about this, and there's a lot of ways to go with this, but I believe in this text, when you study out the word charis, it means God's favor. God's favor. Listen to this. Paul was saying, I'm praying for God's favor to be upon your life. Huh? Say, do you ever wonder, well, what can I pray for my pastor? Huh? Look, if all you pray for your pastor is God bless him, I want you to know something. Look up here. I'm already blessed. I'm a blessed man. I'm saved. I have a remarkable wife. I mean remarkable wife. She's the best part of the package. You know, I know you voted me in as your pastor just because of her. I get it. And I'm okay with that. I've been riding on her coattails for years. I'm a blessed man. I'm Italian. And only if you, where's the Italians at here? Only if you were an Italian, Steve, you can understand that. You don't understand it if you're not Italian. There's nothing like being an Italian. Peter went to the Italian band, not the Irish band. Not the Ukrainian band. It was the Italian, right, Mike Calabrese? Yeah. We're proud about our heritage. I'm a blessed man. So what can I pray for you, Pastor? Pray for God's favor to be upon my life. Did you get that? There's no better prayer than you can pray for one of your brothers or sisters than for God's favor to be upon their life. And friend, look here. There's nothing better for you and I to do than to live in God's favor. I said this, and I believe this all my heart. I said this many times throughout my preaching years. When you're living with the favor of God upon your life, others will recognize it. Amen. They'll know it. You got the favor. That's the people come and say, what are you so happy for? Huh? Don't you understand the world's coming to an end? The sky's crumbling? The earth beneath us is... And you're smiling? Are you out of your mind? Uh-huh. I am. Why? Because my mind's on... another place. Yep. Nothing better to pray than God's favor upon someone. But Paul's not speaking, now pay attention right here. Paul's not speaking about saving grace in this text. You know why I say that? Because he's writing to save people. He's speaking about, get this, he's speaking about positional grace. Say it with me, positional grace. This is not saving grace. This is positional grace. Listen to this. What is positional grace? That's the grace God extends upon his children when they are positioned properly. Amen. I thought it was better than that. So somebody asked, what is positional grace? It's the grace that God extends upon one of his children when they are living in a proper position.
Amen.
So what do you mean by that? Let me give you scripture. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. Flip it. A good man obtains what? What kind of man? What kind of man? He didn't say any man. He said a good man. You know what that means? That fellow has positioned himself. That man has positioned himself in such a way that he has the favor of God upon his life. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, folk, you're not getting that. Because when you're not living with God's favor upon your life, you got to do all of it on your own. You got to do it all on your own. You say, Pastor, why don't I have the favor of God upon my life? Because you've got to get in position. Years ago, I preached a series of messages from the prayer of Jabez. Did you ever read that prayer? It's a great prayer. Right? You know what Jabez prays in that prayer? You don't read a whole lot about this fellow Jabez in the Bible except for his prayer. And he prays something like this: Lord, would you bless me indeed? Huh? Would you enlarge my coast? May your hand be upon me. Would you keep me from evil? What a great prayer. But I thought about that when he prays, would you bless me indeed? He didn't just say, Lord, would you bless me? He said, would you bless me indeed? And I took that apart years ago and taught it for several weeks, that prayer. And I believe this, when he was praying, Lord, would you bless me indeed? He understood something. He understood that in order to be blessed by God, you must be blessable. Got to be blessable. And that means this, you got to live in such a way that God can pour out his blessing upon you. And I remember illustrating this back then. It's been a while since I preached this, but it's just fresh. I remember it saying, like, it's not as if God comes to the precipice of heaven, Ty, and he has a bucket filled with blessings. And every morning, he just comes out like you would feed your birds or your cattle or your chickens or whatever you got, cats. And say, come and get it. No, that's not the way God blesses his children. God doesn't pour out his blessings, pay attention, arbitrarily. He pours them out deliberately. Amen. Upon those who are blessable. In other words, he says, here's my blessing. And he's pouring that upon an individual who is in position to receive that blessing. Amen. Did you get that? That ought to encourage us to live in such a way to where I'm blessable. I want God's favor upon my life. Think about this. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. God says this about the whole. He looks at the whole of creation, mankind, and says, man, why in the world did I even create man? They're a mess. The only thing on their mind is evil continually. In fact, they're creating new ways to sin. But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of all of that, right? I mean, everybody, God says there, everybody, just wickedness. But Noah found grace. Why? Because he was living in a blessable position. Amen. Did you get that? Do I have to illustrate that anymore? Huh? I don't know if it's doing for you what it's done for me. It encourages me. Look here, I can have the favor of God upon my life, the blessings of God upon my life. Why in the world would I not want to get into position? Because I can show you over and over and over, and this is not just a message on the word grace. I can show you over and over where when you get out of position, there's no blessing. There's no blessing. You know what there is? Hardship. You got to manufacture your own blessings. Huh? But all good things, all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. God doesn't give you blessing with burden. Well, man, God bless me with this new house, Pastor. I got to work 15 jobs to pay the mortgage, but God gave it to me. Really? Really? God gave you something that's going to take you further away from Him? Did you hear that? God gave you something that takes you out of church? That causes you not even to have time to read your Bible? God gave you that? No, I doubt that very much, because that's not good. That's not good. When God gives you something, it'll draw you closer to Him. Grace. See, that's why I told you it's going to take us forever to get through this text of Scripture. Every one of these words are just, wow. You mean that's what Paul had in mind? Yeah, I asked him yesterday. It's exactly what he had in mind. But then he combines it with peace. Right? Did you see it? Look verse 3 again. He says, grace be to you and what? Peace from God. Again, significant. What a combination, grace and peace. Now, the word peace in this text, shalom, means this. It means rest from conflict. How many of us would like to have rest from conflict? Come on now. Three people raised their hand. Like only three of us are having trouble? I know you. Rest from conflict. Remember the key theme of Galatians, right? Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Genuine freedom. Here's what he's saying. Genuine freedom in Christ produces real peace. It produces real peace. In Scripture, you find this. You find peace with God and peace from God. Did you ever notice that? And did you know this? You can't have one without the other. For example, you cannot have peace from God until you have peace with God. Yeah. Romans chapter number 5. Flip it, guys. Romans 5. Look at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. You know what that verse is? That verse is connected to our salvation. Right? Because you and I, before you get saved, you're at odds with God. We're at war. We're in war with God. There's no peace. Nothing but conflict. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens? On the cross? He bridges the gap, right? You've seen that illustration before. He bridges the gap on the cross. And now we are able to make peace with God. We're no longer in war, no longer conflict. I'm at peace with God. And because I'm at peace with God, I can now enjoy the peace of God. One of the great Bible verses about peace, Philippians 4, verse 7. Look at it. Look at it. And the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, shall do what? It'll keep. Oh, man, isn't that good?
Amen.
So here's what Paul's saying to the church in the churches in Galatia. He's saying to this mixed crowd, Jew and Gentile, grace and peace. May the favor of Almighty God be upon you. May the peace of God be with you.
Amen.
Boy, that's good, isn't it? Huh? Say, Pastor, what should I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ? There you go. Pray that they have the favor of God upon them and the peace of God with them. Because we live in a world filled with conflict and turmoil and difficulty. I need God's grace and I need His peace. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. You want to go to verse 4?
Yes.
You sure? Huh? All right, let's go to verse 4 just for a minute. Well, I just lied. For a couple of minutes. It's early. We haven't even been here in an hour yet. And look at you. You're already filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 4. Now this is powerful. Who gave himself. Go back verse 3. Grace be to you, peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuation, right, comma. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God. Now I'm just going to touch on this, because the message for tonight is to dig in and really examine this present evil world and our sin nature. That's what and the deliverance that we get from it. And so if you're not here tonight, where's the guys upstairs? Doug, we don't live stream on Sunday nights, right? We don't live stream. We don't. However, we do record, so you can pick it up. Okay? $55, you can get the message when we're finished. No, I'm just decent. But look at verse number 4. There's a number of great truths here. Let me mention just a couple of them and I'll finish. Notice these words, who gave himself. He gave himself. Gave himself. That's powerful. You know, I heard this and I believe it's true. The greatest thing that you can give is yourself.
Amen.
Right? How many times we've heard this, parents? What our kids need more than anything is our time. You ever hear that before? I know we think they need all the newest. And what kid doesn't want? I want them. Every time a new iPhone comes out, I want one. Every time a new gadget, I want one. Doesn't mean I need it. Huh? The greatest thing that we could give to anyone is ourselves. And the Bible says, who gave himself. Jesus gave himself. Think about this. When you talk about salvation, are you still with me? When you talk about salvation, John 3:16. Right? There it is. Foundational. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. Right? And that's true. God gave. However, we often forget the fact that Jesus gave too. God gave his son, but Jesus willingly laid down his life. John chapter number 10, verse 7, throw it up on the screen, guys. Listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I lay down my life. Verse 18 went on and said this. Listen to this. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Look here. It doesn't. The whole idea is this. Jesus didn't die on the cross just because God the Father said, you must. No, Jesus said, I will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm going to the cross of my own volition. Jesus gave himself. Back in 1980-something, one? I asked, well, it was earlier than that, but in 1981, we stood at an altar, Donna Panko. Her family was the creator of Panko breadcrumbs. That's not true. I'm just trying to make sure you're with me because you're looking a little somber right now. We both stood, and I remember asking these questions, are you willing to, and man, the list went on and on and on. The idea was this, are you willing to give yourself for her? And I said, I do. And same thing was asked of her, and she said, I do. And you know what? For the last 40-some years, we have. We have. I have to say this. Much more better times than not. We've never had a bad time together, but we've had some apart, but we've had some bad times together. You know that, right? Sickness, trial, difficulty. We live in the same world you do. However, over the last 40-some years, we've been dating since we're 17. 17? How old are you? We're 17-year-olders. Barry. You're so old, you don't remember what 17 looked like. Anybody 17 in here? 16? Sophia, how old are you? 14? 13? 13. I wasn't dating when I was 13. I was married when I was 13. I got divorced and date done. That's a long time. But the greatest thing I can give to her was all of me in return. That's what marriage is all about. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He gave himself. And then notice the next. What? Let's go back to the verse, guys. For our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Now, there's an important message there, and I promise you we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that tonight. But I want you to think about this. Do you have your Bible available? Can you go one place with me? Could you go back to the book of Romans, chapter number 5, and just look at this? And I'm coming around, I promise you. I've got a couple more things to say, and I'm done. Paul doubles down here. Look at verse 6. He said, I'm in Romans 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for, just say me. Me. Christ died for me. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Yet sinners. How about that? Christ died for us. Huh? Four children. Two of them in church this morning. My son-in-law is here. He's more like a son to me. I got a granddaughter right there. Love him dearly. My wife dearly. I'll be honest with you. I would like to say to you right now with all confidence, I'd give my life for any of them. But I really wouldn't know that until the gun's here or... I've developed some great friendships here in this church. I mean, some of these guys, Brother Craig, Brother Steve, I can go on and on, Brother Barry and Nathan and Isaac, just wonderful guys, and I love them dearly. And I do believe to have a genuine, Brother Dean, to have a genuine love for me, Brother Tony, I can look at all of them, Donald, all these guys. And they're good guys. I mean, they're good guys. However, I'd have to say this, Barry, I love you, man. However, I would die for you, but I got to pastor this church. That's what that text means. Look at it again. Verse number 7. Scarcely. What's that mean? Rarely will a righteous man die. You know, will a man die for a good man? Huh? Yet, Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet in sin. Yet in sin. Think about all your sin. He gave himself for our sins. That's awesome. The legalists, remember this now and I'm done. The legalists were attacking the Galatian believers, trying to trouble them with the idea that salvation just isn't by faith in Christ. Come on, man. It's ridiculous, they would say. You got to keep the law of Moses. Chapter number 2, Galatians chapter number 2. We're going to get there eventually, but look in chapter number 2 with me in verse number 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. If I could be saved, if I could get to heaven, if I could please God any other way, why did Jesus die? Are you with me? Christ gave himself for our sins. Did you ever sing the song In Christ Alone? It's a great song, isn't it? A couple verses. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. The gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Last verse says this, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Man, that's powerful. That's a song we sing. Doctrine. That's our doctrine. He gave himself for our sin. Wow. Genesis chapter 6, I alluded to it a while back. In chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I don't think that's just a description of Genesis chapter 6. I think it's a description of society today. However, Jesus gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. We'll talk about that tonight. So what's the message for the church? Here it is. I shared a couple of things with you last week. Here it is. First of all, the Word of God is our authority. We have God's Word, the Bible. Take your Bible out for a second. Just take it out. Go ahead, take it out. Hold it up. We have the authority of Almighty God in our hands. Do you believe that? It's the Word of God. And what God said, he meant. The authority of the Word of God. Huh? Well, we said this, and don't forget about this. We need to be aware of those who cause division. Because sometimes they wear the same uniform. Sometimes as they're shooting you, they're saying, hey, but we're on the same side. I've never understood friendly fire. Huh? I mean, it's bad enough to be getting shot from the front. How about getting shot from the back? From someone who's supposed to have your back? Hey, I'm from Philadelphia, the city that's got your back. I think it's more the city where you need to watch your back. Here's the third thing we said this. Only the gospel has power to save. All roads do not lead to heaven. I'm sorry. No, there's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Amen. I'm so glad. And then finally, here's a new one for you. Salvation is not just for eternity. Go ahead. Take it in. Suck that in. Chew on that a minute. Salvation is not just for eternity. No, Jesus desires to deliver us today.
Amen.
Today. From the very power of sin. We'll not be delivered from the presence of sin until we go to heaven. But we have authority and power today over sin, if we so choose. These things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. It's our choice. Amen. There you go. And so our faith in Christ has transforming power. Jesus said this in John 8, verse 32. Good Bible verse to memorize. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, make you free. And if the Son has made you free, verse 36, ye shall be free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. And so the transforming power of Jesus changes our very nature and builds Christ-like character within us. Hey, let's try to live in harmony with God's favor. Right? That's a goal for this week. Allow His peace to control your mind and live in harmony with His favor. Live in the power of the gospel, and we'll be free from the power of sin. Amen? Amen? Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We'll finish it up tonight. Next week, we'll begin verse number 6. You excited?
Yeah?
Yeah? Go ahead and smile if you are.
Amen.
I don't believe if you're not smiling. I can take medicine if I'm smiling. Let's pray, may we? Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us with truth. And thank you for the ability through the Holy Spirit's power and help to dig into Scripture and get a better understanding. Thank you for words like grace and peace and freedom in Christ. Thank you for statements that Christ gave Himself for our sins. Thank you that we're delivered from this present evil world. Thank you that there's another world coming that one day we're going to take up residence in. We look forward to that. Until then, help us to live in your favor. Help us to have your peace upon our lives. Help us to enjoy our Christianity. Help us to enjoy closeness with you. And Father, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we pray for them. We pray you open their eyes and soften their heart and bring them to a place where they put their faith in the finished work of Christ alone. Not the works of the law, not the works of the flesh, not religion, not church, but in Christ. Christ alone. He's the one. And for those of us who are saved, help us to live a life pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached. And just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.